You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Well, it is the Pro Wrestling Cast here, the aftermath of WWE's Fastlane pay-per-view. I'm Aljon, and of course, along with me,
Steven.
And we just finished watching the pay-per-view. You could probably hear a little bit of it in the background. And wow, our picks really did suck.
I think they were trying to swerve everybody with a lot of the match finishes a little bit. I'm a little concerned about where they're heading in the next pay-per-view because I don't know, everything's sort of up in the air. I think they were sort of trying to get everyone talking about it in a kind of a controversial way, and I guess that's what they achieved with this. I think they've done some really strange things, and all in all, the soup was really good.
We had soup. Thanks to my wifey for the Canadian beer cheese soup with bacon bits. Very good.
So that was good. And they also had a pay-per-view tonight too. So that was
that was the cherry on top of the cake, right?
I was just disappointed with a lot of the pay-per-view. I thought it would have been a little stronger. I thought some of the matches were a little surprising. I was very impressed with the women's match. I thought that was surprisingly good, and I was disappointed in the opening match and the Gold Dust match as well. And thought the main event was fantastic. That's just off the top of my head, but it was pretty good main event. I mean, I will say that.
Yeah, sure. So some of the highlights for me, I believe Randy Orton's surprise return, or maybe not so surprise return. It's something that we really didn't talk about, is the fact that Randy Orton was rumored to return for the Fastlane pay-per-view. And wow, how about that? So he comes back in, a lot of piss and vinegar, and he's RKOing people out of nowhere.
I thought it really set up Randy Orton against Seth Rollins, which is a logical sort of matchup. I could see that being a really good WrestleMania match. And I was kind of wondering where they were going. I kind of knew where they were going, the top four matches in the card, although that's obviously changed a little bit. But that's an excellent undercard to higher card kind of match. So they set that up well, and the match sucked, just to be quite blunt. Rollins was in it very, very sparingly. The stupid Big Show Kane heeled, boringness continues, but the match was set up for just the ending. It was kind of odd.
Right. I think another thing that we kind of neglected to really talk about at any length was the Sting face off with Triple H. Triple H, when he comes to the ring wearing the leather jacket, he means business.
Well, Trips was in fine form tonight. I thought for a second there they were going to screw up the entire angle, but
he did go pretty long.
He went real long. Sting's hair continues to be an issue.
It's also long.
Sting's hair is an issue, and I'm being honest.
I think we should challenge the Twitterverse to create a Twitter profile called Sting's Hair.
What he needs to do is, what you do is you have like a number four razor's kind of cut, and you kind of just blend it up. And I've done it for years.
It works for you.
Right. You can still slick your hair back with a sort of a pompadour look. And it really is affecting, possibly could affect directly the match outcome.
Well, I think his robe, his ring gear was great. And of course, we did call it, Triple H goes under the ring, fetches the old trusty sledgehammer. Sting, of course, goes nowhere without his number four black bat.
Sting, I thought, did a great job tonight. In all seriousness, his ring attire is quite swank looking, although his hair, again, is an issue. I won't keep bringing
it up. Can't win them all.
I can't keep bringing that up. But I thought Triple H cut a real fiery promo. I thought he was going to kind of beat him down a little bit too much. They actually booked it really well, where he made a comeback and it showed that Triple H was going to try to beat him to death, and Sting was going to answer any challenge.
Speaking of fiery promos, we saw that backstage segment with Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, Gold Dust back there. The family is in ruins. The match, of course, was lackluster, not the match, the sleeper match we thought it was going to be. Having said that, you know, Stardust cut a really, really good promo in the little time he had there. What did you think?
He finally kind of came into his own with that a little bit. The angle was done a little bit better than I was expecting. I thought he would just have a big win. I don't understand why he lost with a stupid
roll up.
It was a pretty good little backslide looking pin, but I mean it just ended too quick. They needed to give them more time. You know, they gave the tag match 10 minutes, which is fine because there was a title switch.
Yeah, which we didn't see coming.
That was a good match. So, I mean, they had some good matches. I'm not trying to say the pay-per-view was terrible. Anyway, back to Goldust at Stardust. That was a fine angle at the very end. Again, it was saved. Randy Orton saved the first match in a sense by his ending, and that match was, in a sense, slightly saved by the promo. So a good promo, and Dusty looked a little bit better. Still not at Hard Times level, but, you know, well, certainly something.
No one can touch Hard Times level. I mean, even Dusty can't touch his own Hard Times level in terms of promo. There was a lot of underutilized spots, I believe, in the show. But who knows if that was done for a reason, if it was just by the writing staff, it was done a certain way, or maybe the finishes were just not all there. I will say, once again, I did think that the highlight, believe it or not, yeah, the women's match delivered. You know, for me, it was not bad at all. I mean, when Nikki Bella, or is it, yeah, when Nikki Bella can deliver an Alabama Slam better than Rusev, yes, I went on record saying that. That means something. It's kind of interesting.
That was a good match. I hate the, they always book the damn women's match finish with a roll up. I don't know why they do that. I mean, they had two very stiff looking moves they could have ended it with. The Alabama Slam was really stiff, and there was another one that escapes me.
She did what it was, a top rope power bomb on. Man, I tell you what, Paige, regardless of the wardrobe malfunction or not, she did deliver a great match with the Bellas, and I thought for sure that Brie was going to get involved, and she didn't even get involved at all. And no schmazes tonight.
Yeah, it was basically filled with clean finishes. Paige is an excellent women's wrestler. She showed me a lot tonight.
I tell you what, man, it looked pretty brutal, to be quite honest. I was hoping that she didn't get knocked out or anything like that.
I'd be surprised if your girl didn't have maybe a mild concussion from that. Good match, though. They really did a good job. I'd actually like to see a rematch of some sort, which is probably what they're going towards. Hopefully they can come up with some good subject matter and have a good Mania main event.
So our final thoughts on this whole situation. I mean, you know, believe it or not, John Cena didn't tap out to Rusev. Rusev, you know, actually got the best of John Cena. How about that? Crazy.
We called that one, right? That was a good match. I was eating a lot of soup during that match, just to be honest. But, you know, I can't say. Anyway, I thought it was a really good old school kind of match. It was exactly what I thought it would be. They're shooting John Cena slowly down the card with these losses. He's constantly losing. And, you know, just to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised to see that John Cena heel turn we've waited years for. I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow. Interesting stuff there. Once again, we're just, about 5 weeks away. Yes. My wife is a big fan of John Cena. You know, is your wife a big fan of John Cena?
I don't believe she is.
She's in the minority, I think.
I think she likes him as a human being, but I don't. I think she appreciates his charity work and the things he's done. So many, over 300 Make-A-Wishes. I think as a wrestler, though, I don't think he's a Harley Race or a Nick Bockwinkel.
Very, very good. Well, I tell you, it was quite interesting to see this pay-per-view event, WWE Fastlane. Overall grade on it, Stephen. What do you say? Is it a C? Is it a B+? I mean, does it barely get a passing grade from you? What do you give it?
I give it a C+. I thought it was pretty okay. It looked like it was going to be bad. The main event was excellent. You know, I wanted to quickly say, I'm wondering what the hell they're doing with that. You know, the main event is now officially Lesnar Reigns. Does Daniel Bryan have a pay-per-view match? Where does he fit into this? Is he going to fight Sheamus like I originally heard?
Oh, dear Lord. Sheamus again?
What else could it mean?
I think you're right. It's going to suck.
I'm going to give the match 4 stars.
Well, the only difference is this time you're not going to have AJ Lee giving him a little kiss of death and then making the pin in 5 seconds.
That was a bad match.
What are you going to do? I give it a C.
Not a plus?
No, I don't give it a plus or a minus. It just barely passes. You liked it more. Yeah, you liked it more. I think the highlight for me was definitely the Stardust promo. I was down with the tag team. You know, the Cesaro, Tyson Kidd totally came out of nowhere for me. I thought they delivered that match really well. I thought the women's match was great, too. So kudos to the women for not, you know, just cheapening out. They really went for it, which was great. So, the Cena Rusev match, very good. And then the last match of the night, believe it or not, I guess people want to believe in Roman Reigns. He kind of quote unquote earned it, his spot. And it once again leaves a lot of interesting matches. The card is fully stacked. And the last thing we didn't even mention was The Undertaker.
The Undertaker was fantastic. Just to hear his music, it added some sort of life to the pay-per-view that was otherwise completely boring. You know, and that kind of sets in stone that they're going to actually do that matchup. I know that some people feel like The Undertaker has gone past his time, and that
would be my wife.
But the fact of the matter is, they don't really have that many people that are over.
Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, will not be coming home for soup anytime soon.
But I mean, for WrestleMania, you need to have him there because they still, and that's a product of the writers' inability to get people over with their writing, and the bookers being just a little bit too weird at times. I do think Vince McMahon sent a message tonight. His message was, I'm putting over Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. That's what I'm doing. Stop trying to change the finishes on me with the crowd reaction. And it's kind of an interesting struggle to watch.
Yes. And one would think, you know, has he lost touch with the WWE universe? Is it what's best for business? And the other question is, does he actually care enough to give the WWE universe what they actually want? Does he listen to the fans? Because according to this, he doesn't.
He's like a father. He's like, this is not what's best for you. You like Daniel Bryan. You like to see him wrestle. But in the long run, you're going to want Roman Reigns or a guy like that on top. Daniel Bryan's ugly. Daniel Bryan's short. Daniel Bryan's has long technical matches. He focuses on storylines, selling merchandise and looks. And he thinks for the long run, he thinks this is what's best for you. That seems to be the dynamic. It's pretty weird.
Okay, not a fan, and my wife is definitely not a fan of that type of booking. You know, for heaven's sake, give the man his WrestleMania moment. He is the uncrowned champion. He gave up his title before, you know, while his neck injury happened. He gave up his title, and he hasn't had a proper rematch for the title. Kristen is doing the yes chant. She is a fan of Daniel Bryan, may not be the fan of the beard, because she likes the American Dragon, Daniel Bryan Danielson.
Bryan Danielson without the beard looked very strange.
Almost as strange as Rey Mysterio without the mask. And having said that, we're going to go ahead and cut it short. That was a great little bit of just off the cuff, unrehearsed. We don't even have a laptop or an iPad open talking about WWE's Fastlane. We're going to be back next week to talk more about this week in wrestling in the Pro Wrestling Cast. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at prowrestlingcast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.